coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. We've got a great show for you today, and I know that you're going to love it. Boy, today we have got coming up in segments 2 and 3. We're going to be speaking with Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. We're going to be talking to Joel about what goes on inside an actual gun store. What kind of records do they keep? What kind of interaction do they have with the ATF, the federal government in general? Can people get guns without background checks? All that good stuff. And Joel is going to give us a straight scoop on all of that. So we have that coming up. Boy, it's been a very busy week for me. I've been doing more and more and more work with churches, primarily here in West Michigan, where I live. But I will get a call from a church, and they will go ahead and they'll ask me to come in and teach them how to create a church safety team. They'll want me to train them on tactics, the legalities of a church safety team, the bookwork, the administrative stuff, qualifying on the range, every aspect of a church safety team. And I had my first meeting with a new church last night. And usually what I do with a new church is I'll go ahead and I'll meet with them for 2 hours, and I want all the team members there. And we had like 6 safety team members. It's, a smaller church. I just met them so they could know me and I could know them. I could find out what their capabilities are, their experience level, all that stuff, so that I can tailor a training program for their particular safety team. And at the same time, I get to walk around their church and find out, the most likely scenarios, things of that nature. And that helps me out with selecting their training as well. It's quite amazing when I'm talking to these people because they pretty much have the same concerns, same misconceptions from church to church to church. And one of the big fears is I'm afraid that I'm going to get sued. Well, what happens if I have to shoot somebody? What if I made the wrong call? How do I know when I can use deadly force? And, there is no black and white, cut and dried guarantee that you'll make the right move every single time. And that's why you just have to know the law and you have to know the key elements. When am I legally justified in using deadly force? Well, you've got to have that imminent threat of death or serious bodily injury. You have to know what serious bodily injury is. Any injury requiring stitches or sutures, or any injury resulting in permanent disfigurement, substantial loss of consciousness, broken bones. And the person attacking has to have the ability to carry out the attack, the intention to carry out the attack, and the opportunity to carry out that attack. So, it's not as simple as people want it to be. They always want it to be simpler. Just tell me when I can shoot and when I can't shoot, and that way I'll never make a mistake. Well, the bottom line is sometimes you do make a mistake. That doesn't give you an excuse to just not defend yourself and not defend other innocent life. It just means you have to become better at your job. For me, you notice one of the sponsors here is Firearms Legal Protection. Firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical, you learn all about that. But that's why I have legal protection, because I may not always make the perfect call in the heat of battle. So I want someone who's going to back me up, someone who is going to be in my corner, someone who's successfully defended an innocent person against charges of this nature. Firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical. Check that out. Another routine mistake that I see people make all the time is firearm selection. And you have to understand that the firearm that you use, it has to fit the application. You wouldn't use a screwdriver to drive nails. So why would you use, you know, a little 32 caliber mouse gun to take a 75 foot shot across a sanctuary or down a hallway? You wouldn't do that. You know, I guarantee you, folks, if you knew at 5 o'clock today that you were gonna have to make a shot like that, you wouldn't carry a mouse gun. You wouldn't carry a compact. You'd have a full frame. That's just the way it is. One thing that I've learned is that your firearm will never exceed its own abilities. Every firearm has a cap on its abilities, and it will never do better than what it's capable of doing, and neither will you as a person. If you shoot a 380 compact really well, then you will shoot a 9mm full frame incredibly well. That's just the way that it is. It has to do with, you know, the sight radius, the length of the barrel, the grip that you have, the felt recoil, all of those things. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying 380 compacts are bad. I mean, they're great for what they do. They're a good tool for an anti-mugging device, okay, when you're going to take that, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 10-foot shot. But for a church safety team, I don't think you want to be saddled with that 380 compact. I was interviewing Carl Chin. You may recognize his name from New Life Church in Arvin, Colorado. When they had that shooter come in with a long gun, AR-15 rifle, and lots of rounds, he was standing there with a 380 compact. And in retrospect, he said, "Skip, I looked at that little 380, and I thought, you know what? Why did I do that? This is not the right tool for the job." Especially some of these larger churches are just huge. You could be taking a 100, 150-foot shot, or have to close on a man with an AR-15, superior firepower. After that, he went to a larger framed handgun. And that makes sense. All right, enough of that. Let's go ahead and I think we have time for one news report here. We will go to bearingarms.com here. Arizona governor wants more police in schools. Well, good for him. You know, why is it taking him so long? In wake of Parkland, political leaders are looking for answers. What will be the solution that inflicts the least amount of pain on the people while still ramping up their protection for our children? It's a difficult conundrum. There have been a variety of proposed solutions, ranging from gun bans to arming teachers. Support for this varies wildly as well. Perhaps one of the least controversial proposals is more school resource officers. And actually, that's what they're doing here in our home state of Michigan. They are going to provide funding for more school resource officers and more training. That's a great idea. I think we can all agree that we need to do that. And we'll probably never all agree that, oh, parents, well-trained CPL holders should be allowed to carry in a school. Some people will just never, ever agree to that. I would agree to that. I think it's a great idea. But I think governors, politicians who like to play it safe, they're not going to readily agree to that unless their feet are really held to the fire. And there's not enough heat to get them to do that right now. But we saw that recently at Great Mills High School, and school resource officer stopped a potential mass shooting. That was the shooting in Maryland, I believe. And yeah, only 2 people were injured because the SRO was there. He was armed and he was trained and he did his job. Fantastic. That's unlike the deputy sheriff down in Parkland who hid behind a wall. That's why the governor just proposed a plan to put 100 more officers in schools. That's great. He's going to double the money that Arizona gives school districts for protection, for security. You know, I think that's a great idea. You know, while we're deciding whether or not we want to arm teachers, while we're deciding whether or not you want to let CPL holders carry in a school, while we're having that argument, you know, at least put some extra measure of safety between our children and these lunatic killers. and that means school resource officers. No one in their right mind is going to say, no, don't let cops carry guns in our schools. Some people will, but those are crazy people. We ignore them. But, you know, let's go ahead and do that now, because that's something that most of us can agree on. It's a safe thing to do, common sense thing to do. I think we should. All right, before I forget now, we have the Second Amendment March coming up. As you know, I'm the founder of the Second Amendment March. That's on June 20th at the Lansing State Capitol. June 20, it'll be nice weather. I will be there. I'll be speaking. I'll be signing books. I'm just having a great time. We are expecting a huge turnout this year, and we need to have a huge turnout, especially after these March for Our Lives people had their huge turnout. If we don't have a good turnout, then they're going to look at our side and the anti-gunner's side. They're going to go, well, gosh, the gun people must not care because they can't even come to their own march. Hey, go to secondamendmentmarch.com, secondamendmentmarch.com, and check that out. Get signed up for that. All the information is there on the website, secondamendmentmarch.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about this March for Our Lives event. You know, David Hogg going to talk about some things that are on their website with Joel Fulton, the owner of Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. Joel is always a good time to talk. The guy's funny. He's fantastic. A very good friend of mine. Don't go anywhere while I'm away. Check out our sponsors. Check out elitefirearms.us. See what Larry Jackson can do to help your family get responsibly armed. And then check out firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical. Protect yourself legally. And then, if you've got time, check out secondamendmentmarch.com and get signed up for that. Give us all your support. Help us spread the word. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is Siege Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Today we are speaking with Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. Joel Fulton, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Good to be back, Skip. Good to be back on the show, and I'll tell you what, it's great to be back in the country.
All right. So that's right. You recently went, was it Europe that you went to?
I did. I was in Europe for 2 weeks. I visited the Netherlands. I was in London, England. I was in Paris, France. I was in Vienna, Austria. I went and visited a gun factory in Slovakia at the Grand Power Factory. They make some fantastic firearms over there. Some really fun toys over there with some full auto stuff. Fun switches, as I like to call them.
Well, what are they?
And then I drove into Germany, and I was in Rome, Italy.
You didn't go to Iceland or Greenland? Those are nice places.
Yeah, we didn't make it to any of those, and those are not in the European continent anyway.
Okay.
So,
but I've heard that they're really nice in the winter.
I've heard that, too. Kind of like Michigan, and I'm good with this kind of weather.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're a better man than I am. What do they do with all those guns in Europe? They don't like guns there, do they?
Well, in some countries they don't, but he's got a lot of military contacts. He was in the military. and he shipped to 70 different countries.
Wow. Well, what was it like going through Europe unarmed? I assume that you can't be legally armed in Europe when you're there.
Well, let's make sure that we keep in mind that I'm the weapon, and everything else is supplemental.
Now you sound like Colonel Denny Gillum. You know, I do the Front Lines of Freedom military talk radio show. He always talks about, you know, his deadly Ranger hands. So your hands are what, registered with the federal government or something?
Well, I did have a tactical pen, so I have some implements with me that get through. I also happened to stumble onto a ballistic plate. It is completely made of polymer. Oh. And it is fashioned in such a way that it's about 3/4 of an inch thick, maybe a little less than that, and it'll stop a .44 Magnum. And because it's completely polymer, I was able to slip it into my everyday carry sling bag and went through security on the plane with it. Nobody ever saw it.
Huh, really? I'm curious, how much does it weigh? Because the plates that I've seen... boy, weight just precludes that you carry it around on you in normal everyday life.
It's all polymer, so it weighed less than 1 pound.
Oh, my gosh. Man, that's something that I would buy. I bought a plate, like an AR-15 plate, and I was going to stick it in, you know, my laptop bag, you know, just to have it. But the darn thing, it just weighs so much that I don't even want to carry it. So, what, are these on the market now or not?
They are. I'll probably start carrying some of them in the shop, and the next time I put an order in, I'll get one for you.
That would be fantastic. Just so I can prepare my wife, how much do they run?
It's not that expensive at all. Retail on them is probably somewhere right around $100. You know, my cost is going to be your cost for a guy like you.
Well, you know what? That's even something that I can afford. So, boy, hey, you can't put a price on your life now, can you?
You really can't. And, you know, since they weren't going to let me have a really good offense over there, I was going to make sure I had a really good defense.
There you go. All right. Well, you know, Joel, what I wanted to talk about is, you know, I found out just this last week, and it kind of surprised me, that the ATF... has been hamstrung. They're operating with one hand tied behind their back. They're not keeping any records. You as a gun store owner can sell to anyone that you want. They don't need a background check. You know, and this was all news to me. When did you find out about all this?
When did that happen?
Well, Joel, I know that it's true because I'm on this website called marchforourlives.com. And, you know, I heard this.
Oh!
this is straight from David Hogg, so I know that it's true. And, you know, I just want to confirm, you know, with an actual gun store owner that you no longer have to keep records or anything like that.
Well, you know, that's the dangers of government public education for free.
Well, I'm going to read this to you, and you can tell me what you think and set our me and all of our listeners straight. You know, this is on marchforourlives.com. Under information, they have, I think, 5 ways that we can reduce gun violence. And number 2 here says, eliminate absurd restrictions on the ATF. And it is right here, the first sentence. The gun industry has operated mostly unchecked for far too long. And I didn't realize that. I thought that you guys had some kind of regulations and that the ATF, you know, visited you from time to time. How exactly did this come about?
Well, I just got through having an inspection last year. They can come in and surprise inspect me once per year.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't mean they're going to do it every year, but once per calendar year or within a 12-month time frame, they can come in and give me a surprise inspection.
Because here it says the ATF, the only federal agency with jurisdiction to regulate the gun industry, has been operating with one hand tied behind its back, unable to even digitize records of gun sales or require gun dealers to conduct annual inventory checks to make sure they aren't missing any guns. So how many guns is Freedom Firearms missing right now?
None.
But how do you know?
A whole lot less than federal government agencies. Well, first of all, when they're talking about can they require me to do my own self inventory, there is no requirement to do my own self inventory. They recommend that dealers do it at least minimum once per year, and larger dealers like myself are going to do inventories probably once per quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And those are just good business practices.
Sure.
Because if there is something missing or something amiss, I want to find it before the ATF does. Because if the ATF finds it before I do, when they find it on a random surprise inspection, it is very, very, very bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
they're not kind about it.
Sure. I'm a book publisher, and I inventory my book inventory, and the books aren't going to kill anybody or get sold out on the streets, you know, on the black market. So are there any kind of penalties if you come up with a missing gun and you don't report it?
Yeah, you can lose your license.
Wow. Okay, so that's some really big incentive to inventory regularly.
For me, about $1.5 million worth of reasons, sure.
Do you have to keep any kind of records? Is there any paperwork, anything that the government requires you to do?
I have an acquisition and disposition book. Any firearm that I receive has to go on those books by the close of business that day. I also have to disposition all of my firearms, and I have up to 7 days to get them dispositioned. The only reason I get 7 days is because every time I disposition a firearm, there's a 4473 form, ATF form 4473 that the customer has completed, which shows a record of where the gun is at.
Mm-hmm.
But I still only have 7 days to get those recorded into my disposition book.
Okay. Well, what do you mean by disposition?
It means that I've shown where that gun went.
Okay. All right. That's
so I've either acquired it, so acquisition, or I've disposed of it, disposition. So it's been sold, it's been destroyed because it was no longer functional, it has been returned to a manufacturer for repair, any one of a number of things such as that. But it has to get dispositioned out of my book so it's known where it's at all times.
Okay. So in your opinion, is the ATF operating with one hand tied behind its back? Are they not powerful enough? What do you think?
I think they were plenty powerful. I think they overstepped their bounds many times in the 70s and early 80s. I think at the current time, there's probably a right balance of power. I have heard some horror stories between FFLs and ATFs in some of the southern states.
Mm-hmm.
But on the whole, my experience here in Michigan has been a very positive experience with the ATF. I've always had a very customer service friendly attitude from the ATF and the inspections agents. They've had an attitude of, we're the good guys, you're the good guys, and we're trying to make sure bad guys don't get guns, and we want to help make sure that you're doing everything in the manner that you should be, so that if we ever need to get the bad guys, we'll have all the ammunition we need against them in court and help you do best business practices. So it's been a very positive experience for me with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives.
Well, maybe that's why March for Our Lives and David Hogg doesn't like the way the ATF is doing their job right now, because they're seeing you as a good guy and you're selling guns to regular citizens. So that could be the problem right there.
Could be the problem, yeah.
What about under the Obama years? Was it okay then, and have there been any changes from the Obama administration to the Trump administration ATF?
Nope. I had the same experience for 8 years under Obama that I had under George W. that I've had under Trump.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fantastic. Now, I also see something here. Universal background checks. It is too easy to obtain a firearm. Right now, federal law only requires you to obtain a background check if you purchase a gun from a licensed dealer. We must close the private sale loophole and make sure all sales undergo a background check. What are they talking about there?
Essentially, they're talking about the fact that you can buy privately a long gun in any state and a handgun in the vast majority of states from a private individual and never have to undergo a background check.
But is there any paperwork that has to be done along with that sale?
Bill of sale, just like you would for, I don't know, anything else I own. Here, I've sold such and such to Skip Coriel for the amount of $300 and do a bill of sale, and it's yours.
Okay. And is that what
like
they...
Like the private sale of a car.
Sure. Okay. Is that what they mean when they talk about... They're always referring to the gun show loophole. Is that what they're talking about?
Sure. It's private sale between two individuals who just happen to be at a gun show together.
Okay. In your opinion, if Johnny Cupcake wants to sell Richard Cunningham a shotgun, should there be some type of a background check to make sure he's not insane?
Let's make sure we kind of go back a few steps. First of all, my allergies got me while I was over in Europe, so that's why my voice is a little scratchy. First of all, if you sell a firearm to somebody you know or should have known was a prohibited person, it's still a crime.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. The fella that sold the gun to the person that killed Detective Laverne Brand here in Battle Creek over a decade ago, they were able to prove that this man should have known that the guy he sold the gun to just got out of prison, and he got 10 years for that.
Okay.
Private sale, no background check, but he still should have known this guy was a felon because he had knowledge, and they were able to convict him.
Oh, okay. All right. How is it different from long guns to handguns?
Well, I said the difference between handguns because in some states, like Michigan, we require that you have a purchase permit in order to obtain a handgun, including private sales, which means you undergo that background check for a handgun here in Michigan. There's no way around it.
Okay. All right. Not even for a private sale, you still need a purchase permit or your concealed carry permit, something that proves that you've had a background check, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Well, you know what? That is all good information, and I'm sure not all of my listeners knew that. And I learned a little bit here, too. But it's time for us to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about numbers 4 and 5. We're going to talk about high-capacity magazines and deadly military firepower on the streets of America. So, Joel, don't go anywhere. We're going to take a 2-minute break. Check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical. And when we come back, we'll be speaking again with Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
This is Felix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect your family now.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We're speaking with Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan, all about the firearms industry, gun sales, legal, illegal, you know, the restrictions, the paperwork, all of that good stuff. Joel, it occurred to me while we were on break that possibly the reason that you have sniffles or allergies when you go to Europe is that you're allergic to slavery. What do you think?
You know, it's possible, I guess. I mean, I did go visit the subjects of the crown in England, but honestly, I had a great time over there. I think people are the same all over the world. Pleases and thank yous, like your mama told you, get you everywhere you want to go. I learned please and thank you in every language I went to, and that helped out a lot. Simple smile. I love technology. Technology is fantastic. I was concerned about the fact that I wasn't going to be armed, which is not normal for me.
Mm-hmm.
But sorting potential threats out was super easy because technology has made people the same all over the world. And I constantly tell people, get your head out of the phone, be up, be alert, look around you. And I'm out in public. I see people buried in their technology all the time. And it worked out great in Europe because they do the same thing. They're buried in their technology. And anybody buried in their technology isn't a threat. It makes threat assessment super easy.
All right. Well, I'm glad you made it back okay. Let's continue on with our conversation now. Number 4 on marchforourlives.com on how to reduce violent crime in America says, high-capacity magazine ban. High-capacity magazines that hold more than 10 rounds serve only one purpose, to allow someone to shoot as many bullets as possible in the shortest amount of time. These magazines are devastating and need to be banned. What does Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms say about that?
Well, I think that is pretty much a statement out of ignorance, so we can discard it immediately. Going back real quick to number 3, when you think about background checks, just for your audience, think about background checks and ask yourself if you think that stops bad guys from obtaining firearms currently. If your answer is no, then why have more background checks? Huh? The only reason you have background checks right now is so that I can sleep good at night because I'm reasonably certain I didn't sell a gun to the bad guy. I appreciate you paying all your tax dollars for my peace of mind.
Only for you, Joel.
I appreciate it.
Well,
it's awesome.
On the high-capacity
magazines, I can change a mag in what? One and probably a second, maybe less than a second. I'm pretty good at it. Even somebody completely untrained, second and a half, 2 seconds. And the whole point of only somebody having 10 rounds in their magazine is that somehow in that amount of time when they go to change magazines, you're either going to escape or you're going to tackle the bad guy and stop him. So let me make sure I understand the scenario. I'm sitting at my desk in my office. Suddenly I hear gunshots ring out. The first thing I do is duck behind my desk for cover, and I forgot to count the first several rounds. Crap. So I wait till I hear a pause, and I go, that must be the mag change. And then I start to count. One, bang, 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 bang. We get to 10. And at that point, I am supposed to jump up from behind my desk, identify where the bad guy's at, and tackle him in less than 3 seconds, less than probably a second and a half in all reality.
Yeah.
I haven't found one person, even a non-gun person, that goes, yes, that's, no, we're not doing that.
It's not my first choice either.
No, that doesn't work.
Joel, I don't think.
So if I make them think about it, they go, oh, it doesn't work.
Yeah, well, I don't think I could do that in my prime, you know, 20 years old in the Marine Corps. That's still not going to be my first choice. I want my gun.
And I'm assuming that he's a law-abiding criminal and only has 10-round magazines.
That's right. Isn't that absurd? That is just crazy, crazy as can be.
So that statement, just on its face, given just a small amount of thought, you go, wow, that's just so super ridiculous, I can't even believe somebody'd say it.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is, most of the mass shootings that we've had in the last decade and a half 48 of them that have been studied specifically, none of them have exceeded the rate of fire of a Henry lever action rifle from the 1850s.
Yeah, that's from the USCCA's Countering the Mass Shooter Threat. I recognize that.
That's correct.
That stat. Boy, just an awesome course, an awesome book. But, you know, we've had high-capacity magazine bans before, haven't we?
We have, and they didn't do any good then either.
Yeah, it seems like crime, there was a sunset provision that came up under, you know, George W. Bush, and it wasn't renewed because crime didn't go down. It didn't have any effect on violent crime.
They studied it, and there was zero demonstrable effect in a reduction of crime, and there never was going to be anyway, because rifles are used in less than 1% of firearms crimes.
All right, well, hey, let's give David Hogg one more chance here. I'm at number 5 here. It says, limit firing power on the streets. And David says, weapons of war have no place in our communities. Our nation requires a comprehensive assault weapons ban that prohibits the future production and sale of these weapons and provides a solution for dealing with those assault weapons that are already owned, such as a buyback program or registration. Limiting high-powered weapons to the military has worked elsewhere to eliminate the opportunity for mass shootings. Well, I'm so happy to know that.
Where elsewhere has that worked?
Well, apparently not in England, because didn't London just overtake New York City as the murder capital of the world?
Yeah, but they're using knives, so it doesn't count.
That's right. Knives. We want knives. A knifing is a kinder, gentler homicide. I'm not sure that's true. But, you know, Joel, when you talk about, you know, they always talk about military-grade weaponry. And, you know, I spent 6 years in the Marine Corps. Not any time when I was in the Marine Corps did they hand me an AR-15 and say, go at it. They handed me a fully automatic M16 A1 rifle and said, go at it.
Right.
So since when is an AR-15 a military-grade weapon? What military, in the professional military in the world, is going to choose an AR-15 over a fully automatic rifle?
Well, they're not, and they don't even have fully automatic rifles anymore. They quit doing that because you Marines and you Army-type guys get all panicked in a firefight, and you squeeze your grip, and all your rounds are gone. And there went 30 rounds in like 2 seconds,
yep,
and you didn't,
you're absolutely,
you didn't
right.
hit anything.
You're right.
They quit doing it because they knew fully automatic gunfire is ineffective.
Yeah.
It's only thing, they have one guy. He has the saw. He's got the squad automatic weapon. He has that weapon so that he can throw down a belt-fed machine gun fire, lay down a cover fire so that the rest of the guys can advance.
Yep.
They then fire so that he can advance, and they do a little leapfrog down the field until they get to the enemy and destroy him. Fully automatic gunfire is good for is cover fire. It's not good for killing. You want killing done, you use semi-automatic gunfire.
Well-placed rounds. Yeah, accuracy. You know, it doesn't matter how fast you miss, right? Doesn't matter how fast you miss. Matters
right.
How fast you hit the center of mass. You're almost sounding like a United States Marine. Did you join the Marines when I wasn't looking, Joel? Because you've got tactics down.
I'm still Air Force.
Okay. All right. All right. Good enough. Well, I think we've thoroughly debunked, you know, all of those. But Joel, we've got some other things that are coming up here pretty soon. We have the Second Amendment March coming up on June 20th at the Lansing State Capitol. And you are involved in that again this year, are you not?
I am. I'm going to be the Master of Ceremonies once again, and I will be delighted and pleased to be able to serve in that capacity. Hopefully my voice will be better by then, and hopefully we will have a crowd this year. We need a crowd. There needs to be a showing this year to make sure that the government officials understand that our rights are not up for debate.
Yeah, Joel, I agree with you 100%. Preliminary indications are, for those of you who don't know, I founded the Second Amendment March, and we're organizing that right now. We have had more interest in that this year than we have any other year, even when we founded it, you know, back in 2010. So, Joel, I think we're going to have a good crowd, but we're just going to keep pushing it. And I know you will be there and you'll be at your best, and your voice will be booming and patriotic. So, hey, we're going to get the word out. That is June 20th at the Lansing State Capitol. To get more information about that, you can go to SecondAmendmentMarch.com. SecondAmendmentMarch.com. All the details are there, and help us get the word out. But Joel, we're just happy to have you, Johnny Patriot, back in America where you belong, home from Europe. So, hey, Joel, thanks for all that you do, and we appreciate you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on again, Skip.
All right. Okay, folks, we got another two-minute break. Head on out to firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical. Check out what they can do for you. Now, Joel, before you go, how can people contact you at Freedom Firearms?
Sure. You can visit us online at www.freedomfirearms.biz. You can call us at the shop at 269-968-4CCW. That's 269-968-4CCW. Or you can stop down, see us in person. We'd love to see your smiling face at 539 Capitol Avenue Southwest in Battle Creek.
All right, Joel. Thank you very much for being on the Home Defense Show. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, folks, this is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, I will tell you what I really think about all this.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Skip, it's Armed America Report time. What do we have today?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
A loose dog on a downtown Roanoke street attacked two people Thursday morning before a bystander shot it with a handgun. Two people were taken to the hospital in ambulances for treatment, but the names and conditions were not available. The dog was taken from the scene with two gunshot wounds to Angels of Assisi, where it was euthanized, Roanoke Police Captain Chester Smith said. The dog's owner, who lives in an apartment in the same area where the attack happened, said the dog got out when he opened the door, Smith said. The owner has not been charged at this time. The incident is still under investigation.
Thanks, Colonel. Dog attacks are a growing concern across America as canine populations rise and some pet owners become less and less responsible. I highly recommend everyone form a plan to thwart dog attacks in the unlikely event that they occur. The person in this week's story used a handgun, and it was quite effective. However, there are concerns with shooting dogs, especially in highly populated areas like parks and playgrounds, or city sidewalks where these attacks tend to occur. First, you need to be concerned about collateral damage. Dogs move around and they move fast. That makes them a difficult target to hit with a handgun, especially while you're under stress. It is reasonable to assume that if the dog is attacking, that a human could be struck by the bullet as well, harmed, and even killed. That defeats the purpose of drawing your firearm in the first place. So, if you have to draw your firearm to shoot a vicious attacking dog, follow the safety rule that states, know your target and what is beyond. Use good judgment, maneuver yourself into a position where no one will be struck by the bullet should you miss or have a pass-through shot. Second, know the laws of your jurisdiction as they vary from state to state. It may not be legal for you to use deadly force against an animal, even if it's attacking a human. And third, consider carrying some form of pepper spray. In almost all cases, pepper spray will drive away the dog and you won't have to shoot them. This also ensures that no one is accidentally hit with bullets. My personal favorite is Saber Red Pepper Gel. The gel hits and sticks and is less likely to blow back into your own face. For $15.95, it's an excellent self-defense tool for use against dogs as well as human predators.
Thank you, Skip.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. How about that Joel Fulton? Great guy. Always like having him on the show. Hey, I love to shoot with him, train with him, do Second Amendment activities with him. Just a great guy. I highly recommend you check him out at Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. Now, again, I emphasize to you, we need people at the Second Amendment March. Go to secondamendmentmarch.com. Check it out. It's on a Wednesday, so yeah, you will have to miss a day of work. It runs from 10 a.m. to about 3 p.m. So it's a full day of events. We've got a professional band coming in. We've invited all the gubernatorial candidates for this fall's election, along with a few others. So you'll get to see who actually stands up for the Second Amendment and who does not. Now, this is the part of the show where I tell you what I really think. Here we go. My wife came to me this morning and asked if I would come with her and the kids to a museum, just for fun, you know, a family outing. And folks, I didn't want to. I just had too darn much work to do. But I decided to go anyways, simply because this museum they were going to visit was in a bad part of town, and I didn't want them to get hurt. I knew that I could never forgive myself if I didn't go and something bad happened to them. So, I put all my work on the back burner, and we went to the city and the museum. When we got there, I parked in the multi-story parking ramp and glanced around before getting out of the car. I positioned myself near the back of our SUV, and I watched for threats while my wife got the three kids out of the car. I was pleased when my 12-year-old son said to me, "I've got the front, Dad." And then he positioned himself, watching the opposite direction, so that we had a full 360 degrees of eyes-on security. That surprised me. He'd never done that before. You know, usually I have to remind him to be alert, even my wife. I have to remind them to be alert in those transitional spaces like parking areas. Sometimes my wife, she says I go a little too overboard when it comes to security, but I know better. You just can't be too careful in the big city, especially in those transitional spaces, those places where you're leaving one safe area to go to another. We then walked to the elevator, went down to the main level, and crossed the street to the museum. All the while, my eyes were scanning ahead and to the sides. The no weapons sign on the front door became invisible to me as we walked in. We had a great time in there, taking the kids from one exhibit to the next before finally having lunch. A few hours later, we were tired and ready to return to the car. That's when my wife said to me, "Honey, did you see those two strange men?" I had seen a tall white male with short black hair and a tall black male with short black hair as they'd passed by us a few moments before that. I watched them out of my peripheral vision until they'd gone. They appeared to be about 20 years old. There was something about them that seemed out of place to me, But as soon as they rounded the corner, I stopped thinking about them. But now they were back. My wife told me they were looking at her, and when she'd looked back at them, they'd smiled and held her eye contact. She said there was just something about the way they were looking at her that made her feel all creeped out. She told me where they were, and I turned, and I stared at them, directly into their eyes. As soon as they saw me making eye contact with them, they turned and walked in the opposite direction. I told Sarah, "Honey, it's time to leave." We walked out the door, and there they were again, coming up behind us from a different direction. I again made eye contact and held it. Oddly enough, I felt dominant. I was on high alert, but I felt no fear, only preparedness. We were still inside the museum where they had armed security, so I was pretty sure they wouldn't try anything right away. I turned toward them and watched as they made another 180-degree turn and walked into another room. I rushed Sarah and the three kids into the elevator and went down to the main exit. I walked point while Sarah kept looking behind us to make sure they weren't following us to the parking garage. We were all on high alert, including my 12-year-old son. We made it back to the car, and I quickly got everyone inside before locking the door. We left the parking garage as quickly as possible. My wife was very upset, and it took her a little while to calm down. But I found myself thinking how contented I was at my family's performance. First, my wife had demonstrated excellent situational awareness, and she'd identified a potential threat. Then she'd trusted her instincts enough to point the men out to me. After that, she followed my lead, and all three children fell into line as we made our departure. This scenario was something we'd talked about before on several occasions, and our planning and practice had paid off. I'll be the first to admit that my family is probably not the typical American family. I raised my children with the understanding that the world is a dangerous place, but then I also teach them how to recognize danger and how to make their escape. And that preparation as training is what keeps my kids from living in fear. They know that Sarah and I can protect them, and they've been taught what to do in dangerous scenarios. On the ride home, we did an after-action briefing on what we did right and what we could have done better. The kids decided on a secret code they could use to let us know when they spotted danger or when they felt afraid. They had fun doing it, and it's a code word that none of us will forget. Sarah and I talked, and she now understands why I don't like her going to the big city without me. A woman with three small children is at a distinct disadvantage. For that matter, a man with three small children is at a disadvantage. It's just not safe, and it makes her a soft target. But then I got to thinking, you know what? My family, relative to other American families, we're not really much of a soft target. We stick together, and we work as a team. It reminded me of my time in the Marine Corps, of my fire team days, when I had to train with and depend upon the people I served with. Some people think that they should shelter their children from any thought or possibility of danger, but I don't think that's the right approach. If the world is dangerous, and it is, then the only sane approach is to train and prepare to handle that danger. After all, we don't hesitate to warn our kids about the evils of drugs. We train them what to do in case of a fire in our home. We train them for all manner of danger, but when it comes to muggers, rapists, and kidnappers, we teach them to close their eyes and pretend the danger isn't there, all so that they will feel safe. Is it really in our kids' best interest to raise them to be sheep? I don't think so. I understand that parents want their children to feel safe, but I'm here to tell you that feeling safe isn't the same as being safe. In order to feel safe, all you need is a powerful delusion. But to actually be safe, you need training, the right tools, and a strong warrior mindset. If you teach your kids those things, then they'll be strong, capable people. Quite frankly, feeling safe in a dangerous world is foolhardy and dangerous. What did I learn from all this? I learned that I don't have to take on the full burden of family protection all by myself. I've got five sets of eyes and ears to help me. But in order to get the full benefit, I have to talk to my family, train with them, and instill that warrior mindset into them at a young age. Because after all, the last thing I want my children to grow up to be is sheep. The world already has enough sheep. What we need now is warriors. And that's what I really think. Okay, folks, again, Second Amendment March. Go to secondamendmentmarch.com. We're almost out of time here. secondamendmentmarch.com. June 20th, Lansing State Capitol. Be there. Between now and then, hey, check out amazon.com, Civilian Combat, The Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coryell. Oh, one other thing I almost forgot. John Correia, that's C-O-R-R-E-I-A, from Active Self-Protection, the YouTube channel. John has been on our show several times. He is going to be at Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan, the end of April. You can go to Facebook, just do a search on Freedom Firearms, and it'll come up there, and you'll get all the details. He's giving a seminar on that Friday. I believe it's April 27th. That's a three-hour seminar, costs $20. And then on the Saturday, April 28th, he's giving an eight-hour advanced defensive pistol course. I will be at both events, and I hope to see you there. I highly recommend that. Just go to Freedom Firearms, either on their website or on their Facebook page. Get all the information there, but call the store to sign up for that. Okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember, your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coryell. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!